Good morning, everyone. You know, every Sunday mornings, whenever I have an opportunity, I talk with this dear saint. And because of the trials and tribulations, the heartaches, troubles she's been through, and that she's still going through, she's been a blessing to me and a comfort. And because of that, Sister Billy, no matter what happens, as long as I'm able, I will praise and bless the name of our Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. Please.
Oh. 8-year-old Owen said, "Grandma, I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave." So pray for Kathy, because she is kind of in an emotional thing, okay? And so Kathy and Dad are leaving on Saturday. Now our daughter Trisha, who has been here, you know Trisha. Trisha is leaving on Sunday to go down and visit Ruthie. So pray for Trisha, and thank you very much for praying for Ruthie and praying for Kathy, okay? She really is feeling this, leaving her whole family to go back to the mission. Thank you.
That's it. All right. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 10. We talked about this on a Wednesday night recently, because on Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock we're studying the Bible. And we're studying the miracles of the Bible. And it's quite interesting. Going through the Old Testament, there seems to be a miracle on just about every page. We're picking out some of the more prominent miracles that God performed. And one of them is here, mentioned in this 10th chapter of Joshua. And we're going to talk about that today, because it's interesting that this, the issue in these verses that I'm going to read to you are coming to the forefront today. There's an awful lot of argument going on today about these verses, and they are turning, apparently, many people to the faith and a lot of people away from the faith. The Word of God is being weighed on the scales of this miracle that God performed in the days of Joshua. We're going to look at that now. Verse 12 of chapter 10. Then spake Joshua to the Lord. All right? He's setting the stage. Joshua is talking to the Lord. And let's find out when it was. It was in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. So that's the day, that's the time that this took place. The time of battle, when the Israelites and the Amorites are going at it. And he said, in the sight of Israel. Now this is Joshua speaking. He's speaking to the Lord in the hearing of the people of Israel. Son, that's not S-O-N, that is S-U-N. Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon. He's addressing the planets of the sky, the sun and the moon. Moon in the valley of Ajalon. Now, when Joshua said to the sun, stand thou still, look at verse 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day.
and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. What do you think about that? This is one of those overlooked, unbelieved, misunderstood, unexplainable, contrary to science, portions of the Bible. Some call it a striking example of conflict between Scripture and science. Critics call it fiction or allegory. Some say it was an illusion. But we are taught today by scientists that this miracle that we read about is a preposterous lie, that it never happened. And these are the same scientists, these smart guys, that deny the Bible. They deny the account of creation. And they tell you that we are descendants of tadpoles and frogs. That makes sense, doesn't it? We have alluded. Now listen. Up until about 500 years ago, these smart scientists thought the world was flat. Do you remember Columbus? One of the purposes of his journey was to prove that the world was not flat, but round. Now then, the scientists are telling us that the universe is flat. And they figured out that the edge of the universe is 10 billion light years away. And light travels at 186,282 miles a second. See, what they're trying to do is to make it so big that no one can prove that they're wrong. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say or imply or indicate that this world rotates? I'm going to tear your mind up this morning. But today the scientists tell us that the earth rotates from west to east, once every 24 hours, at a speed of 1,037.56 miles per hour. Now that's enough to blow all the smog out of Los Angeles and San Diego both put together. But they don't get this from the Bible. They also say that our Earth, this planet that we live on right now, is hurling in orbit around the sun at 6,671.33 miles an hour. Now that's faster than a teenager in a hot rod. Seriously, did you ever stick your head out a car window when it was going 50 miles an hour? Can you imagine? You want to try it at 6,000 miles an hour? That'd blow all the curl out of your hair. But what if this earth is standing still? What if the sun goes around the earth instead of the earth going around the sun? If you get up early enough of a morning, you can look over yonder toward the east, and what do you see? The sun rising in the east. And during the day, you see it as it travels across the sky, and it goes down over here somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. I've been from one side of that ocean to the other, and I never have found a place where it hides out. But the next morning, you can look for it. It's way back off over here in the east. That's every day, day after day. At least for 86 years it's been doing that I know of. I've been around that long. Now let's look at what the Bible says, remembering the words of our text here in verse 13 of Joshua 10, which says, "And the sun stood still in the midst of heaven." Now, if the sun is standing still, that means that previously it was moving.
Right.
That indicates movement, doesn't it? Motion. And what is it that's doing the moving? It's the sun. Because the sun stood still. Again, you read over in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, and verse 11, "The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation." Job 9 verse 7 speaks of God, "which commandeth the sun that it riseth not." God can speak and that sun will not come up in the morning. He's got that power. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 5. "The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down." The sun rises, the sun sets. Psalm 15, verse 1. "The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof." The sun rises, the sun goes down. Psalm 113, verse 3, "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same." And another thing, if Joshua's long day was not true, then where did the Africans come up with their account of it? And the Egyptians, and the Chinese, the Indians of North America, the Mexican Indians, the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Peruvians, the Fiji Islanders, the Hawaiians, the Japanese, the Swedes. They certainly didn't get it from the Bible. They didn't have access to one. Yet they knew about it. For years, we've been taught that the sun is the center of the universe and that the sun does not go around the earth, but the earth goes around the sun. Does the earth spin, or does the sun orbit the earth? Or does the morning come because the sun moves around a stationary earth? Did you know there are 67 verses in the Bible that says that the earth is not moving? 67 verses. Now, either God deceived man for the first 5,500 years, or Satan has deceived everyone for the past 500 years. But obviously, the sun does come up every day, whether the sun orbits the earth or the earth spins around the sun. It's a question of which ball is going around the other. On the first day of creation, God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, "Let there be light." And there was light. In verse 5 of Genesis 1, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now you'll notice that the sun and the moon and the stars were not created until the fourth day. Yet there was evening and morning, there was night and day, there was darkness and light before the sun was created. So light and the sun are two different things. Psalm 74, verse 16 says, "Thou hast prepared the light and the sun." Spoken of as two different things. In Genesis 1, 4, God divided the light from the darkness. In verse 6, the firmament, the heavens, divided the waters from the waters. In verse 14, God put the lights, that's the sun, moon, and the stars, in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. Now, whatever does the dividing does the moving. It was back about 1421 B.C. that the sun stood still in Joshua's day, but 709 years later, in 712 B.C., in the days of King Hezekiah of Judah, an even greater phenomenon took place. It's recorded in three different places in the Bible. You'll find it in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 9 through 11. You'll find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 24. And you'll find it again in Isaiah chapter 38, verses 7 and 8. Let me read it to you from Isaiah. "And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken." Now what's he talking about, the sign? Isaiah had gone into the presence of King Hezekiah when God had told Hezekiah to set his house in order because he was going to die and not live. And he began to weep and to cry before the Lord, and God changed his mind and he said to him, "All right, I'm going to add 15 years to your life." Isaiah told him that, what the Lord had said. Hezekiah said, "How will I know? How will I know?" And he said, "Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward." So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. It was the sun that reversed itself 10 degrees. And that's where we got daylight savings time. God's the instigator of that, way back in 712 B.C. So last night after the singing, I went home. Now, it was easy for me. All I had to do is just push a little button and watch the numbers roll backward. And I turned my clock back a whole hour. And I got up this morning and I went through the house and I changed all the rest of the clocks. And I ran back a whole hour. I even changed my wristwatch. It's getting time to go. Anyway, it came in this morning, changed some clocks in the church here. Fairly easy to do. Back in Hezekiah's day, they didn't have wristwatches and clocks on the wall. They had sundials. You ever seen one of them where the sun shines and they got a little thing here and it makes a, you can measure the shadow and you can tell what time it is by looking at the sundial. Now changing your clock's easy enough, but have you tried changing a sundial? I think we would be getting out of our province into the province of God, don't you? If we tried doing something like that. But how did God do it? How did he do it? He stopped the sun. He moved it backwards 10 degrees. And then it resumed its normal course, making that particular day 40 minutes longer. See, he changed his 40, we changed our 60. Now, doesn't that indicate that it was the sun that did the moving and not the earth? I like to read commentators. Whenever I run across a sticky subject in the Bible, I want to find out what some of the experts say. You know what an expert is? A drip under pressure. But I like to find out what the experts say about it. So I go to the commentary. Wise man, what are you going to tell me about this verse about in the days of Joshua and the days of Hezekiah? And here's what I read. I want to quote you. I'm going to quote the greats. How this miracle of the reversal of the sun's shadow occurred is not known. Wow, that helps, doesn't it? Perhaps, now they're going to give you what they think about it. This is what they think happened. Perhaps the earth's rotation reversed. What does the scripture say? I'll bring again the shadow of the sun. The sun returned 10 degrees. Doesn't say anything about the earth. But they say perhaps the earth's rotation was reversed, or perhaps the sun's rays were somehow refracted. And then they dig the hole a little bit deeper. They say that evidently this was limited in its scope, being local rather than universal. Does that make sense? The earth's rotation, or the sun's, whichever way you want to go, is going to be reversed locally? How can it be just local? If that sun goes back, it's going to go back everywhere. Can you move a part of it without disturbing the rest? Can we change it here in San Diego and not in Yuma? Think of this for a moment. Can you imagine the natural disasters, the tsunamis, for instance, that would result if the earth, think with me, this earth rotating at 1,037 miles an hour. Boy, that's going around fast. And moving through space at 6,671 miles an hour, suddenly stopped, still, reversed itself and went backward for 40 minutes. Think about that. It would slosh all the water out of the oceans and you'd have a muddy mess all over the world. Now listen, if this did happen, or it did not happen, then why would the Hindus in India have a record of it? And the Chinese, and the Indians of North America, and the Peruvians, the Egyptians? And what about what it says? Did you notice in here that he referred to a book called the Book of Jasher? I was reading this, and when I was preparing this message, I said, the Book of Jasher. Wonder if I could find that. I didn't have it in my library. Got on the computer. You'd find anything on the computer. So I got in there and I typed in the Book of Jasher. Try it on your computer. Boom, here it comes up. I ordered it for my Kindle, paid 99 cents for it, and they transferred that onto my Kindle. I started reading some of it last night, the Book of Jasher, in English. It was originally written in Hebrew in 1840. There was a guy that translated it into English, and it's available now. You can buy it and read it for yourself. It was in the days of Joshua, the Book of Jasher. And not only that, but David made reference to it in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, if Joshua wrote about it, and if David wrote about it, that means that they both had read it, and my curiosity gets the best of me, and I say, I'd like to read it too. So I downloaded it. And you can read it for yourself. It's written in the Book of Jasher, it says. Now, if Joshua's long day and Hezekiah's sign are pure fiction, that puts the whole Bible under suspicion, doesn't it? You might as well take it and throw it in the trash can, because you don't know what part to believe and what part not to believe. Most people will discard it and call it a pack of lies, fables. Because if this account cannot be trusted, what can you trust in the Bible? If this is wrong and not right, how do we know that John 3:16 is right and not wrong? The Bible claims to be inerrant, without error, infallible. It either is or it isn't. But I still believe that it is the pure Word of God, every word divinely inspired of God. And I stake the eternal destiny of my immortal soul on its veracity. It is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let's stand together, please, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your divine word. We thank you that it is true and without error. We thank you that we can trust it and rely upon what is written therein. We thank you that it tells us that we're sinners, but that we can be saved, and salvation is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for our sins. Heavenly Father, we pray today that if there's one here who has been in doubt, that today they will come and place their full faith and trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. 494.
494. Sing a verse of invitation, if you will. Then we'll turn you loose. I know you're getting hungry. Somebody here might need to come. I don't know your heart. Will you come?
If you are tired of the load of your sin,
let Jesus come into your heart. Will you come today? For the attention you gave to the preaching this morning. It's been a wonderful day so far. We're looking forward with great expectation to our services tonight. We hope that you'll come out at 6 o'clock and be with us in that service.